We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit and their operation. And we found out that the predicate of the gift of wisdom is the understanding of your death. And the predicate of the word of knowledge is that it has replaced what was prophecy. And now we're talking about, and if you didn't hear all that, then you got to go back and listen to the tapes. Now we're talking about the gift of faith. Nothing else can happen. This isn't the gift of salvation or the gift of saving faith. This is the gift that means constancy. It means fidelity. It means that you're set in a course that absolutely nothing can interrupt the peace. But it requires everybody to sit down before I start. Go ahead and get your coffee. Get what you need. I'm just busting you, don't.
Hurry up.
It requires a whole, as we started to talk about yesterday, the gift of faith not requires, but it produces a paradigm shift in how you look at the world and how you look at life. Let's go first to Romans 15. So we're at a Bible study and didn't bring a Bible? You finished the book? Well, she's already... when anybody stays at a... the way we got our Bibles, if you can tell, when anybody stayed at a motel, they stole the Bible. And that's what Gideons wants you to do. They want us to steal their Bibles. They've always said that in their literature. So. They're being used.
But after a few decades of Trinity stealing Bibles, they stopped saying that.
Last time I was at a motel, the Bible was on the counter and it was open. So somebody wanted us to read
that passage.
Yeah. Open to Isaiah or something.
Yeah, it was one of those. What's that process called where you open the Bible and put your finger?
Psychomancy.
And it no, it's something like that.
Stichomancy.
Stichomancy. It's you. Oh, I'm all screwed up, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I need to go to the manufacturer's handbook and see what.
Read.
Oh, no man, anything.
It works.
It works.
It always works.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here, let me give you one. And it talks up, and Jude hung himself, and go and do likewise.
Yeah.
Stichomancy, the word for the day. Precy was the word for the day yesterday. I don't know what this cold weather has made me crazy.
Is that it?
Huh?
What's your excuse the other time?
I think it's medication.
I haven't taken any medication. What?
Burns out the Ouija.
Ouija? What is Ouija?
The other part of Nor. The Nor region,
the
cold.
The Ouija.
That was very, very weak, Gary.
It's a kind of shoe.
I thought it had something to do with a Ouija board. Ouija.
Michael, here's a seat for you. Well, he's safe. All right. Listen carefully to what Paul said. In verse 18, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me," or actually it says in me, "to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. I am determined that I will not speak of anything that has not been wrought in me." Now, you and you can't, if you're a teacher or a Bible study or a preacher, you cannot, you are, if you're like Paul, you cannot and should not and will not speak of anything that isn't wrought in you, where the knowledge has become mixed with you. Knowledge is more than knowing truth, it's being truth. Now, I want you to understand that I'm determined to speak of nothing that has not been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay," was not this and that. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." Now this sounds weird, but it's going to be important. "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen." Our minds say the promises of God are in him, yes, and then they'll be fulfilled tomorrow. Or they're in him, yes, and someday I'll understand. Or in him, yes, and if I just study hard and memorize a bunch of scriptures, then I'll understand. Or the promises of God are here, and now I'm going to claim them. The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. That means, consider what it means. It means that everything is finished. What are the promises of God that affect what we're talking about? Number one, it's finished. Number two, by one offering, you've been perfected forever. Number three, you never need anything. Number four, if you abandon yourself, he is always there. So it's time for this paradigm shift that you begin to stop being a victim of the universe. Maybe you're saved, but you're still the isolated self, and you're still struggling with this and struggling with that, and someday Beulah Land will come, and when I cross over the river, then... No. The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Now, do you understand the importance of that concept? Does anybody not understand it? The promise is we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Now, not tomorrow. The promise that you've been perfected forever by one offering. The promise is that you own all things. The promise is that all things exist for your purposes. The promise is that all the things that happened in the scripture happened for an example for you. What is the only thing that's keeping you then from the promises of God? If all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, then what's going on? What's going on with you? Why are you like a spiritual yo-yo? Oh, I'm up and down. And why if somebody looks at me the wrong way, then I get all upset? And if things don't go the way I think they should be, then I'm mad. And if somebody gets in my way, then I don't like it. And if some... What happened? If all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, there's no time. You don't have to wait for anything. What's going on?
Anybody?
He moved out of the rest. He moved off the center.
Remember, desire is in the wrong place.
You look at the world from the bottom up. You're looking at the world as a victim of the universe. So instead of being one with God in Christ, no matter how much knowledge you have, no matter how much time has passed, no matter how much word has been preached, no matter how much you've studied, you're still in the place of Paul that he talked about as a past tense. What I want to do, I can't do. What I don't want to do, that's what I do. I try to do good and evil's present with me. But then Paul said, I'm determined to speak of nothing until it's been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. And now he says, all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. And if you can hear that, if you can see that, the only way that you can hear that and see that is by repentance, by leaving all of you behind. Not just what you think is bad. Now, this weekend we're celebrating Pentecost. One way of looking at this counting of the Omer between Passover and Pentecost is getting rid of everything that didn't let you say all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Because primarily the things that have seduced you ever since are the things that you thought were good. And every time you make a decision that this is good and this is not good, this is good, this is not good, then you've left the mystery of God. You've left the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. And so the mind-blowing aspect, so that you can appropriate and be all that he has finished you to be, so that you can agree with Paul that all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, so that you can receive the gift of the Spirit, is it's time for you to fully repent from those things that you think are good, because I promise you, that is what's been holding you back. That's what's holding you from being in 100% union with God. The promise said you are a partaker of the divine nature. The promise of God is that your peace is constant, it never leaves, that there is a total absence of againstness, that your warfare is over, that there is a new life that has nothing to do with anything of your past history. And it doesn't matter how smart you are, how dumb you are, how ugly you are, it doesn't matter how nice you are or how bad you are. It only matters that you leave the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's time that you started to recognize that the curse didn't come from eating the fruit of the tree of evil. It came from eating the fruit of the tree of good and evil. So that is what kept and keeps the human race from appropriating the mystery of God. Because they continue, and you continue. This is a good thing, this is a bad thing. This is separate from me, and that's... You don't embrace who you are. You don't embrace what is. You don't embrace what's going on as a gift of God. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Find a promise. It's in him, yea, and in him, amen. No time, no judgment. You stop doing evil, and you stop trying to do good. Leave all of you behind. Now, The gift of God is this, the gift, the spiritual gift of faith, of this constancy, incredible fidelity to Him. Because it is Him. He is constancy. He is fidelity. And that's your life. You're not your life anymore. He is your life. You are crucified with Christ. We had Zola Levitt, the Jewish televangelist that's on television all the time. We were here yesterday. And we talked about some of these things. We talked about there's no such thing as an Old Testament and now a New Testament. There is a Testament and a completed Testament. There's not two different things. And the idea that when Christ said it's finished, it was finished forever and ever and ever and ever. And that if you are still trying to work it, if you're still trying to accomplish something, if you're still trying to get an idea across, if you're still trying to have an agenda, then you're working it. You're still working it. And if, Paul said clearly, if you are still working it, then the reward will no longer be reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so, you will have something you're working at, something, an idea that you think things should be, some goal you're trying to accomplish. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit's your enemy. And you will fail, and then you'll get discouraged and all upset, and things aren't going the way I think they should. And you're an idiot. Because you don't realize the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Anybody have any response? Does everybody understand what it means? The promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. They're now.
Yeah, the prepositional part of this blows me away because they're in Him and they're no place else. And in Him, you don't go in there. Self doesn't go in there. So that's where it's going to happen.
No, there's no you in Him. There's no you in Him.
No you in there.
He's in you.
Right. And it's in Him and it's of Him.
But then you look at life totally different. That's the paradigm shift that is the gift of the Spirit. First, the word of wisdom. Second, the word of knowledge. Third, faith. But can you see what the true meaning of faith here is? It isn't some little philosophy or rules of living that you're going to try to live by. It's an exchanged life. So now life is totally different because now you're looking from the top down. You're confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we are constructed in a unique way. Do you understand God could have said, okay, you guys, you're sort of like the trees. You can just sort of hang out, and your roots will gain water. And I've got a plant in my office. I had another one, but it died. No, I didn't kill it. One of those community service workers pulled the roots out of it. But anyway, it's in a little pot. It's a little pot about that big. And that plant has regrown because I nourished it and nurtured it. No. Because, for whatever reason, and there is more material that is outside of the plant than is stuff in the pot. Now, how in the heck did that happen? Well, I know how it happened. That was a rhetorical question. Why are you shaking your head at me? You're shaking your head at Michael? Good. You just got out of that one. But the same is true. He could have made us like that tree. And we would have grown and we would have, oh, and we would have right? What? I think I have never seen a palm lovely as a tree.
I think that I shall never see
a palm lovely as a tree. And I, the footsteps in the sand are walking down, and there's two steps, and then there was only one. Then I can go, and I can have 12 steps to spiritual understanding. No, they're all gone. They're all tiddlywinks. They're spiritual. They're not even tiddlywinks. They're spiritual. I'm not even sure they're spiritual, but they're way down there somewhere because they're a how-to. But all the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. And we are constructed by God in order for this purpose to be accomplished, because what we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. What we touch is what we have dominion over. What we eat is what gives us sustenance. And what we drink gives us worth. Now, our meat, our eat, the solid is only His life. The worth is only His blood. Now we hear that we look from the top down and the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. And now nothing has dominion over us. Not what lies between your legs, not alcohol, not drugs, nothing has dominion over us because we are looking from the top down. And we have died. And He lives. And we never again have to give 1 ounce of breath to ourselves. We owe our minds, our emotions, our thoughts, nothing. And every idea, its source, is the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. Because an idea, by definition, says you have a need. And I don't care if you're working out there or if you're Levite or what you're doing, this is always true. The promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Period.
Done. Since we think of the gulf between life and death, there's nothing that crosses it. It's so perfectly total. So there's no bridge like that's when you mess it up. It has to be in or out.
Anybody have any response? Cameron? I can feel your wheels running. Yeah, you're, it's like the yeah. She did it right. It's the hamster in the cage.
Well, I wonder. I'm sitting here wondering, what do you see? You still read the newspaper right now? What do you see? What do you think?
When you
read the newspaper, you know, in view of world events, I mean, what does that mean to you? I mean, because you know. I just wonder how you do that.
Well, I look at the world events and I see all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East or in Iraq and the radical Muslims. And then I say, you know why God made Muslims? So Baptists can see themselves. And I look over here and I see something and I say, everything I see just proves my point. Everything I see proves that the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. And I see that it's a mystery, whether I'm looking at a tree or a war in Iraq or a terrorist. There is no place that it's not true. The only thing I don't pay any attention to is a sports page, except maybe Tiger, and the entertainment section. I don't read that. But I like the crossword puzzles. What the hell is this about? Just kidding.
Is this the answer you were looking for?
Well, you have to go to the bathroom or you want to be excused?
Both, actually.
All right. He's raising his hand. Did you know? I want the rest of you to notice that, how polite and nice Ken is. Kent is. Ken is not polite and nice, but Ken. He's going to tell me what I just said now.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say. You can say that the world has
changed. You know, the same battles are going on politically, financially.
All things continue as they were from the beginning. There's never going to be any evidence of his presence. We're waiting for the Messianic Age to come. The Messianic Age has been here for 2,000 years. It was only supposed to be here for 1,000 years. But because of the long-suffering of God, he's extended it another 1,000. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the Messianic Age. This is the completion. This is the end of... Does anybody... I know what it was. Bye. Okay, the gift of faith, assurance, fidelity, constancy, boldness, generosity, magnanimity, never affected by anything around you. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit and the aspect of faith. Amen?
Amen.
You need a ride at 9 o'clock. Parkland. Who can take... You got it? Can you... Cameron, we're trying to talk Cameron into coming up for Pentecost. But we got to give him a Pentecost memo and a map.
We have those.
Huh?
We have plenty of those.
We have those? We ensure that Cameron gets one? Anybody else wants... this year Pentecost is at Lake Texoma and...
Don't go to Prairie Valley.
Don't go to Prairie Valley. If I were driving, I would probably go to Prairie Valley.
They told me that's where it was at.
Well, for you, that's where it is. There's a special Pentecost just for Kent down at Prairie Valley.
Well, it's in Oklahoma, but your room is at Prairie Valley.
if any of you guys want to go, you're more than welcome.
Memos for everyone.
There's memos for everyone. Where are the memos?
They're down at the office.
Okay.
I need a couple guys to help me load chairs in my truck.
Well, I thought you were a nice, strong, husky guy. Michael the Archangel. See, that's what I want to hear from you. Will somebody can we get a couple people to help Michael with the chairs? All right. Anybody else have any response? Anything they want to say?
I'd like to say that you have a kind of uncanny knack of getting in my head.
Good.
I'd say there's a chair right over there.
Yeah, but Carol, we thought Carol.
So you're not going to sit next to me anymore? Is that what that means?
That's kind of odd.
It's right there, Nick.
I have no friends. The only people that like me are really small kids and animals.
Connor likes me.
Because I gave him Bible Man. Fiona likes me because they give her pickles.
Princess
likes me. Nobody else likes me.
Shannon likes you for your watch.
Shannon likes me. Bella likes me because I play with her belly button. For the in case anybody's listening, Shannon isn't. Shannon's a little. Take it quickly, big guy.